It's Thought Leader Thursday. Don Lloyd is here from Associated Bank. He's the Senior Vice President and Manager of Capital Markets, where he oversees the foreign exchange, rate swaps, and commodity derivatives. Lots to talk about this morning. Don, good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell.
Steve, good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. We begin this morning with still some wrap-up from the World Economic Forum in Davos. I saw this hubbub about the dollar, and I immediately thought of you, because I remember what you've always said about a strong dollar versus a weak dollar. So what did you think of the Treasury Secretary saying a weak dollar might be good for the country?
You're not supposed to remember what I've said in the past. I mean, you sort of feel like my boss and holding me accountable for things. The World Economic Forum, you know, where all these leaders get together and, you know, whether they're financial leaders, captains of industry, entertainers, academia, to me, you know, everything that's said there, it's sort of like open mic night. Mm. You know, it's a time where people can sort of get up, say what they want under the guise of let's make a better world and let's communicate. And communication is great. But what comes out of it isn't exactly policy. It's sort of wish list best ideas on how we can cooperate together. And, you know, you're going to get, in my opinion, you're going to get some discord and some cross communication that goes on, dollar up, dollar down. Just understand that these aren't policies. These aren't official policies that come out. These are more political type positions and what's in the best interest of our country. Not just our country, but the country of the people that are speaking. Mm-hmm. And let's bring some hot topics to bubble up. And it's the whole panacea of what you can talk about out there. So you're going to get cross communication. You're going to get dollar up, dollar down. And, you know, what's in the best interest of the United States and our isolationism and, you know, U.S. first and sort of this whole era of what's going on out there. Strong dollar, weak dollar. So you're in a situation now where you've got the dollar coming off. You got a little bit of a weak dollar situation going on. And you've got some people that are out there saying weak dollar's good, strong dollar's good. Depends on what side of the fence you're on. If you're an importer, you love strong dollars. If you're an exporter, you love the weak dollar.
Well, give us a little economics lesson here. I mean, sure. Because we have seen a strong dollar over recent years, and our economy seems to be doing well with that.
Sure. To me, what moves the dollar mostly are investment and interest rate differentials between countries. I've always said that. I'm still a big believer of that. Right now, what you have going on is a little bit of a bubble where you've got oil prices that have pushed up to $60, $70 a barrel. When you have commodity prices that are based in U.S. dollars like oil and gold, when they go up, you've got the dollar that's coming down. That tends to be the natural course of things. And that's really, I think, what's happening here is that you sit there and look at interest rate differentials and you have U.S. interest rates that have sort of pushed up a bit. That created this big inflow, a demand for U.S. dollars in the globe. And now you've got foreign countries' interest rate curves starting to push up as well. And that differential is narrowing between the U.S. and these foreign. So now you've got this flow of commodity prices up, interest rate differentials narrowing, the dollar's coming off a little bit. And that's fine. You know, the things don't move in one direction forever. They sort of jag and jig all the way up and down. You know, I still think you're in a long-term dollar bull scenario. Mm-hmm. But at this stage of the game, you know, especially because of world demand creating oil prices and pushing them higher, you're still getting a little bit of a correction in the dollar. How long does that last? I don't know. It could last 6 months, could last 3 months, could last a year. Who knows how long it lasts? Don't really care. You know, take a look at the longer type view. You know, the euro has moved from $1.60 to $1.40 down to $1.10. We're correcting up to $1.25 or so right now. Maybe you touch $1.30, $1.28. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens after that. Because I still think the U.S. is leading the world. I still think U.S. interest rates are going to go up. The U.S. Interest rate curve is going to steepen. Mm-hmm. And I think all of that is going to attract funds back into the U.S. So
can't this do a little bit of damage, though, in the short term? I know 6 months may not seem like a long time, but let's say to farmers, to the agriculture community, you see that dollar go down,
sure,
they're going to start panicking a little.
Sure. Could do it. On the other hand, prices start moving again. It's going to give them opportunities to hedge. And that's exactly what you're seeing, for instance, in oil and natural gas. You have all of these hedgers now that, you know, we're sort of not excited about hedging in the high 40s or the 50s. And now in the mid 60s, they're coming out of the woodwork. I mean, I can't tell you, our commodity desk, what we're pricing has probably tripled in what we're pricing and the interest that producers are coming in saying, I'm looking to hedge calendar year 2018, calendar year 2019, Cal's 20. You know, they're interested in hedging. What's the price? Mm-hmm. And, you know, some are pulling the trigger and some are, you know, getting really, really warm to pull the trigger. So that's what's going on. You know, and to me, I've never really thought about, you know, prices up, prices down, strong dollar, weak dollar. It's the movement. Mm-hmm. It's the change. And that's what drives my business. And whether that changes for, you know, up or down, it doesn't really matter. The fact is there's that volatility or that change that's there. That's what attracts the hedgers to come in and do something.
So if you were to draw us a chart and it was, let's say, over the long term, it would be a steady up graph?
In the U.S. dollar?
On the U.S. dollar? Or
yeah, I mean, certainly a steady up in, over the last 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. It's been that way. And this isn't even a major correction.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of a correction that's been going on for the last 6 months or so, 9 months maybe. You know, you get up around 135, 140s, 145s. Okay, now you're talking a major correction at that point in time. You know, we've bounced from what, you know, 110 or a touch below up to the 125 level. Okay. Good correction. It's been under control. It hasn't been out of control. It's been very orderly markets. Good. Now let's see where we go. All I know is you've got 10-year Treasury sitting at a 270. Yeah. You know, this is the highest yield we've seen in quite a while. And you've got the yield curve starting to steepen now, which is good. It's healthy. You know, it's what the U.S. wants. It's basically an indication that the economy is good. There's a little bit of inflation being brought back in. Real rates of return are starting to get where they need to be. That's all good news for the U.S. That's only going to attract investments. It's going to attract capital. And now you've got President Trump out there, you know, in the World Economic Forum saying, we're open for business. You know, bring your companies in here.
Right.
Not necessarily your poor, tired, and weak, but certainly your businesses and companies come on in.
So what does that open the door for when he says we're open for business?
Companies to come back, you know, to sit there and say, let's put up camp here in the U.S. Let's create our businesses here in the U.S. Instead of the United States being an importer of goods, let's manufacture them right here. Let's put people to work here in the United States. You know, you've sort of got that tax situation sort of working his way. You know, you've certainly got him, you know, soliciting businesses to come in here, and you've got a U.S. economy that's sort of leading the world, you know, into growth. Not bad things. You know, like I said, the world is very good and businesses are very good at rationalizing risk and return. And if they're going to look at places to set up camp, you know, they're looking out 5 years, 10 years down the road. You know, is this something sustainable in the U.S.? You know, they're not going to flip in here for, you know, 2 or 3 year move. You're not moving companies that fast for that. But, you know, for the next 10 years, sure, why not?
I know a couple of people that have went out and bought a new washer and dryer after the tariff decision. What is the danger here that we could fall into a trade war with some countries?
Well, you're starting to see it already. In certain solar panels, for example, the tariffs that are imposed on imported solar panels from China. You know, I mean, you're starting to see little bubbles of that in pockets. You know, is that going to continue? Certainly falls into Trump's whole idea of America has been sort of taken advantage of over the decades, and we're going to fight that now. You know, it's a message that's being sent out there. I'm never one for tariffs. I'm one for free trade. You know, that is going to hurt in the long run. You know, certainly it's a growl to get somebody's attention, but you know, if it gets out of hand, I think that's going to hurt the U.S. economy in the long run. You know, I'm all for open borders. I'm all for free trade. So anytime you see tariffs, even on solar panels from China, because the Chinese have been currency manipulators and it's unfair trade practices. Okay, you know, I get it. I don't think tariffs are the way to go. I mean, to me, I like the free markets to be free and for America to do what it does best, which is innovate. And you see that, again, going back to the whole oil thing. You know, what have you seen? You saw OPEC producing, and you know they said they were going to cut their production, but they really didn't. Flooded the market with all this oil, and prices went down. You know, prices went, you know, $30 a barrel, and the whole idea was to put this whole shale business and fracking out of business, and it didn't. Knocked some companies out, but what happened is that it created the companies that remained to become more efficient, more productive in pulling oil out, and they survived. Oil has come back up because of the world demand as the economy grows, and we're pulling oil out of the ground now. I mean, we've just surpassed Saudi Arabian oil production at $10 million barrels a day, and we're closing in on Russia, which is producing about 12 million barrels a day. You know, not bad. You know, and to me, that is without government intervention. It's without tariffs. It is the market doing what it does best, which is innovate and create. And here's a barrier: $30 barrel oil. Some companies are going to go away, but the ones that are fast, the ones that are smart, the ones that can innovate and change and become more efficient are going to be stronger and more productive. And we're seeing that. Unleash that in every industry we have, not tariffs.
Yeah. $70 a barrel oil, though, I remember the last time we were at that level, and that's not really good for consumers, is it?
Hasn't really bled through too much to the pump yet, and really you haven't seen it in the pricing of goods yet that are oil-based. There's still a lot of production out. When you take a look at the oil rigs that have been opened up, and remember, as oil fell, these rigs were capped off and closed down. And we went to maybe under 300 oil rigs that were opened up in 2016. That was the lowest point. Well, we're back up to like 750 rigs have been opened up, 400 alone, you know, in the past year. Oil price is going up. And that's what I mean about the efficiencies. It is pretty easy for companies now to cap off rigs and open them right back up again if they have to. That's what I mean about the efficiencies. It's not a high cost to do that anymore. So as oil comes up, more of these rigs are getting opened up. We're pulling more oil out and supply is going to go. Right now, the demand and the world demand that you see from this economic growth going on is surpassing or certainly keeping up with the production of them pulling out. It's a nice balance. It's a nice equilibrium right now. We've seen a little bit of prices go up at the pump. But, you know, we're not talking $3.50, $4 a gallon like we had seen before. You know, there's just too much supply that's still out there. It's a nice equilibrium right now, especially in a growing market.
The danger is what, though, if we continue down this road?
I don't really see any danger. Okay. Do I think you're going to get back to $85, $70, $85, $100 a barrel oil? No, I don't think you're going to see that. There's just we're too efficient at pulling oil out of the ground now. I mean, this whole fracking thing just opened up reserves that we've never seen before, certainly not 10, 15 years ago. And, you know, there's a lot of oil to go through before you're going to see $100 barrel oil. I mean, you're just not going to see that. Not in our lifetime, I don't think.
The last time we talked, we mentioned cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, yep. All of those. We're seeing a lot more wariness, aren't we?
Yeah, well, the genie's out of the bottle now. It's on everybody's radar screen. And by everybody, I mean the professionals that are out there. And there's one thing about the professional market. They are very, very good at assessing risk and looking for opportunities. And, you know, you've got regulators and you've got country politicians now that are sitting there for whatever concern they have, whether it is the unregulated market of cryptocurrencies, whether it is the avenue of money laundering and all these, you know, bad things that are out there. But at the end of the day, you know, the professionals in this market and the financial market, which are very good at making a dollar, you know, they're taking a real good look at this.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Wild West is sort of ending as when it comes to cryptocurrencies. Personally, I think a year from now, 2 years from now, maybe, you're going to look back at cryptocurrencies and say, oh, yeah, remember that. It's a fad that I think has just sort of blown up. And now it's going to go away the way of the pet rock and the cabbage patch
doll. Or the tulip bulb, right?
Exactly.
And the funny thing is, that's, you know, it's a joke sort of when you see a KFC in Canada. They have the crypto. Do you see this? They have the Bitcoin bucket, I think is what
right.
It was called. you could use your Bitcoin to buy a bucket of fried chicken.
The world's changing. I mean, here I am at my age. I walk into companies now and there's signs up saying, we do not take cash anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And that is a huge, gear shift for guys like me, where cash is king. And I mean, what do I keep in my wallet now other than pictures of my wife and my kids? I mean, to walk in, not just one store, but store after store after store now has signs that are up saying, we're cashless. We no longer take cash,
yeah.
Which is fine if you're a millennial or, a young person out there that's used to it. With me, that's a big step for somebody like
me. And it's getting to the point now, too, where it's not just even a piece of plastic. It's waving your phone in front of the...
Right. So 10 years from 5 years from now, it's exciting, and that to me is what cryptocurrency is all about. This was a flash in the pan, but what's going to come after it? And again, unleash that creativity. What's going to come after it is something similar, but something better, something more stable, something more robust, something that is possibly true electronic money. Because what you're dealing with cryptocurrency, it's not money. It's not stable enough to be considered legal tender. You might want it to be, but it's still not stable enough, and it's not regulated enough, which was the whole attraction of it. What's going to be the next generation? What's going to be the third or fourth generation of this thing down the road? And, this was the birth of it, and we saw it. That's exciting. That whole front row seats to change and innovation in a newly created currency and industry, if you want to look at it that way. That's exciting.
Nice chatting, Don. Always good to see you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Steve.
Don Lloyd is the Senior Vice President and Manager of Capital Markets at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. Happens every Thursday here on The Opening Bell. You can learn more, by the way, about the thought leaders from Associated Bank at associatedbank.com/thought leadership. And you can also hit our website, too, to listen to past conversations, wgnradio.com. We'll upload the podcast of today's show, including an After the Bell conversation with Don, a little bit later on this morning.